Yesterday, Hiraji explained that according to the text, even in a single second, there are tens of billions of mind moments. And in these mind moments, the nama rupa, mind and matter are arising and passing away. Mind and matter, the mentality and materiality are dissolving every moment. And Saraji explained by using the example of a house that can last for 100 years. The house that lasts for 100 years is also decaying moment by moment, and after a hundred years, it will collapse. Even within the 100 years, if the house is subject to floods, fire, or earthquake, it can be destroyed, the house can be ruined unexpectedly. The body is just the same. Within our body, the materiality is dissolving every moment. Even though we do not want to get old, one get old, even though one does not want to have illness, one does have illness. And at one day, one has to die of illness, or one has to die of old age. Buddha said, Vaya Dhamma Sankhara, the conditioned phenomena that arise due to circumstances, they arise and they dissolve. One should have appamada, one should not part with mindfulness in practicing sila samadhi panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. And one should accomplish sila samadhi panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. When it is said that one should accomplish sila samadhi panya, one has to practice so that there will not be any lacking, but one accomplishes sila samadhi and panya. So to the saying, Vaya Dhamma Sankhara, the conditioned phenomena are bound to dissolution. As a human being coming across the Buddha Sasana, Buddha's teaching, before one becomes old, before one is afflicted to illness, before one dies, there is this essential work that has to be done, which is essential for everyone. So practicing Siddhipatthana meditation is the most important work that needs to be done. It is a must that one should practice Siddhipatthana meditation. Practicing Siddhipatthana meditation is compulsory, and one should do it in time. One should not do it late, or one should not procrastinate, but one should do it in time. And one should do it regularly, and it has a lot of benefits. Practicing Siddhipatthana meditation, one can gain guarantee in life. So it is very essential. While one has the opportunity to practice, one has to make use of this opportunity to practice meditation before one grows old. One should practice, one should do retreat, meditation retreat, before one grows old, before one is afflicted by illness, before one dies. So one should practice Sitipatthana meditation before one grows old, before one is afflicted with illness, before one dies, so that one can gain guarantee in life. From the body that is subject to decay, that is subject to dissolution, one should extract the essence of sila, samadhi, panya, morality essence, concentration essence, and wisdom essence. And one has to fulfill so that one accomplishes sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. There should not be lacking, but one should accomplish sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. Accomplishing sila, samadhi, panya, there will be peacefulness. It will be also auspicious. Accomplishing means gaining peacefulness and auspiciousness. One's body is compared to the house. And someone who is 16 years old, 20 years old, is regarded to be beautiful, young, and strong. And they have this view that it is my hand, my legs, my body, my face, my appearance, my mind. And they are having these wrong view, clinging onto these wrong views. And also they are clinging onto wrong view, such as I am knowing, I am understanding, I am skillful, I am permanent without decay. And they have this wrong view. And based on it, there is mana, conceit, and then tanha, craving. These nama rupa do not stay, not even within the moment of blinking or a moment of lightning, but they are arising and passing away. Also, when one is sleeping, these nama rupa phenomena are arising and passing away, the old arising, the new passing away, and they are arising, passing away without any gap, without any stop. It arises as one moment and passes away at another. Just like the stream of current, in a stream of current, the old water flowing, the new water coming. Because it is water, one thinks that it is the same water, but actually, in the current, the old water flows away, the new water arises continuously, and it is sandati, continuous arising. And in the samsara as well, the nama rupa phenomena are arising, passing away, just like a stream of current, where the old are passing away, the new arises. So nama rupa phenomena can also be understood by using the example of a stream of current. When one wakes up in the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and the mind, the objects to be seen, to be heard, to be smelled, to be tasted, to be touched, to be known, are coming into contact, striking the base, and there is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing. And these nama-rupa phenomena are arising continuously. And also at the moment of coming, going, there is the intention, series of intention to go, and the actual going, series of intention to come, and the coming, and they are arising. These nama-rupa phenomena are arising as cause and effect. And these nama-rupa phenomena are arising, passing away, the old giving rise to new. When one is doing work for earning, or when doing housework, when one is enjoying having fun, also these nama-rupa phenomena are arising, passing away continuously, and it is very obvious. When sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration become strong, one discerns through one's experience of practice, through one's knowledge, and is paccaka citta accomplishment by discerning through one's practice. So the nama-rupa phenomena, when being mindful of them, one discerns them and one accomplishes by knowing through one's experience of practice. Knowing that in oneself there is these nama-rupa phenomena, in the past also there were nama-rupa phenomena, in the future as well, there will be nama-rupa phenomena. Just as these nama-rupa phenomena are arising in oneself, nama-rupa phenomena will arise in the same way in others. In this way, one understands by inference or deduction, anumana citta, accomplishment by deduction or inference. And also, when pursuing practice further, the person discerns more and more. As one knows through one's experience of practice, one has faith and confidence on the Buddha, and one believes in what the Buddha taught by faith and confidence based on probability and reasoning. It is called satya-siddhi, accomplishment by trusting or faith and confidence. And in other words, it is also called okkappana-siddha. So by being mindful, one discerns mind and matter through one's knowledge by practice. And it is attapaccaka or paccaka-siddha, accomplishment by discerning through one's practice. So it is beyond, it is something within one's reach. And Buddha gave teachings in the way that the beings will understand. One understands that there are things beyond one's knowledge. One knows that there are things beyond one's knowledge, and one has faith and confidence on the Buddha, and one believes in things even though they are beyond one's knowledge, but one believes with the faith and confidence in the Buddha. When one is noting the presently arising object, at the moment of their arising, one comes to see the true nature. When sitting down from standing position, there is the series of intention to sit and the actual sitting down. And by being mindful at the moment of sitting down, one discerns mind and matter distinctly through experience. There is the intention to sit, which is the cause, and the actual sitting down, where the body becomes heavier and heavier, and one discerns mind and matter, and it is called nama rupa paricheda, discerning distinctly between mind and matter. When one discerns mind and matter, then one will no longer believe in things. One will no longer believe in things that are extra. One knows that there are no extra things, but only mind and matter. And one will no longer know wrongly. One will no longer believe in self or soul. One removes this wrong view, self or soul, when one discerns mind and matter. Discerning mind and matter, one will no longer believe in extra things. One believes that there are no extra things, but there is only mind and matter, and one will no longer know wrongly. Discerning mind and matter, it is paccagasiddha, accomplishment, by knowing through one's experience of practice. When one continues to practice, when sati, samadhi, and panya, when mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom become stronger, one discerns cause and effect, the nama rupa as cause and effect. There are instances where the nama, mentality, being the cause, and rupa, materiality, being the effect. And in some instances, there are rupa, materiality, being the cause, and nama, mentality, being the effect. And in some cases, the rupa, materiality, is the cause, and rupa, materiality, being the effect. And one discerns cause and effect clearly. In the case of rupa, materiality, giving rise to nama, mentality, the example of hearing, because they are sound and the ear, one hears. If there is no ear, one cannot hear. Ear is the materiality, hearing is mentality, and materiality being the cause, mentality is the effect. And because there is sound, one hears, the sound is the materiality, hearing is mentality. So due to the cause, which are materiality, the ear and the sound, the hearing, which is mentality, the effect takes place. So in seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, these nama rupa phenomena are arising as ignition element, striker element, and receptor element, and they are arising as cause and effect. And in the case of nama, mentality, being the cause, and rupa, materiality, the effect. When sitting down, there is the series of intention to sit down, which is mentality, the cause. Because of the intention, the actual sitting down takes place. The actual sitting down, it is materiality, which is effect. And when the weather is hot, then one sweats, the body feels light, and this is the example of rupa, materiality, giving rise to rupa, materiality. When one is hungry, the body feels weak, withered. And when one takes food, the body becomes fresh, alert, and strong again. So these are the example of rupa, materiality being the cause, and the effect is also materiality. So in this way, one understands cause and effect, and it is called paccayaparigraha jnana, knowledge of cause and effect. Knowing nama rupa, the cause, and the nama rupa effect by paccaka siddha, knowledge through one's experience of practice, then one removes ahetuka ditthi, wrong view of causelessness. Knowing that relevant causes are giving rise to relevant effect, there will be yatha buddha jnana. One knows correctly in the way they are, and it is also called yatha buddha nupassana. Knowing the cause and effect relation, there will not be delusion. One overcomes sammoha, one overcomes intense delusion. Not knowing the cause and effect, there will be thick layers of intense delusion, and there will be knowing wrongly, not knowing, knowing wrongly, and there will be wrong view. If one does not know the truth, one believes in creator creating things, one believes that the creator is creating beings and things, and there will be sammoha binivesa, one clings due to the wrong view, not knowing and knowing wrongly. By knowing cause and effect, one removes this wrong view. One no longer believes in Brahma Atta, the Supreme Soul, or the Mahabrahma. One no longer believes that the Supreme Soul or the Mahabrahma is creating beings and things. In this way, this wrong view is removed. And as one continues to practice, sati samadhi, mindfulness, concentration becomes stronger. One sees that the nama rupa, which are arising as cause and effect, they arise and pass away. They arise at one moment and passes away at another. In this way, the old giving rise to new, one understands that they are impermanent. Seeing things as impermanent, one sees that they are no good, they are suffering. And nobody is creating. The things are arising in their own accord. There is no self or soul involved, but these nama rupa are arising, passing away. They arise in their own accord, and one reflects on them, and one develops sammasana jnana. So seeing these cause and effect arising, passing away, the old giving rise to new, one discerns through practice, there will be paccaka siddha, knowledge through one's experience of practice. So when one discerns these in oneself, arising, passing away, arising in their own accord, one understands that in the past as well, they are arising, passing away. In the future as well, they will be arising, passing away as cause and effect. just as they are arising in oneself, in others it will be the same. And one has a new manasiddha, accomplishment through inference or deduction. And one knows that if one continues to practice, one will discern more and more. Having faith and confidence in the Buddha and the teachings, there will be satya siddha, accomplishment by trusting, accomplishment by faith and confidence. It is called satya siddha. And as the yogi continues to practice, every time the yogi knows, he, she sees arising and passing away, objects arising at one moment, passing away at another. The object arises, passes away, and it is Udiyabhaya Jnana, knowledge into arising and passing away of the objects. So at that stage, the arising and passing away are very obvious. Among the three parts, the beginning, middle, and the end, the middle is no longer prominent, but the yogi is seeing arising and passing away in very detail. And yogi starts to feel the taste of Dhamma. Amazingly. So at this stage of Udiyabhaya Jnana, there can be illumination as if the light has been turned on, and there can be joy, piti, satisfaction. There is comfort, very springy feeling, like something is oozing in oneself, something is oozing inside. So there can be very special experiences that can be experienced at the stage of Udiyabhaya Jnana. And yogi can be mistaken that he, she has reached his or her goal, but it is not the goal yet. So at this stage, Buddha praised the virtue by saying, Sonyagaran pavitasa sanda jitasa jayino amanusi rati hoti samadhamma vipassato. When the yogi is practicing in the meditation center, noting the arising object with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness, the mind become pure, clean. One discerns mind and matter, cause and effect, impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Practicing further, yogi discerns first arising and passing away of the objects. Being mindful, the mind is not agitated by raga dosa, and amanusirati, one gains Dhamma pleasure that surpasses the worldly pleasure, human deva pleasure. No other human pleasure, deva pleasure, can match the Dhamma happiness, the Dhamma rati that has been experienced at this stage of practice. When the mind and the knowledge has been developed amazingly, the mind is calm, away from the agitation of the defilements. One discerns first arising and passing away of the objects. And at this stage, yogi gains unique kind of happiness that cannot be relinquished. So this kind of Dhamma happiness, it is very unique. In the worldly happiness, one has to change from one object to another so as to have happiness. But Dhamma happiness, it is good. It is very unique. One does not have to change this and that, but it is very unique. It is the kind of happiness that cannot be relinquished. And the happiness is gained in momentum. Unique and relinquishable happiness. When the yogi has gotten to this stage, if the yogi practices further, it is sure that the yogi can attain supramundane knowledge in this very life. There are five factors in determining that the yogi can gain supramundane knowledge in this very life. The first one is faith and confidence. One should have faith and confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma, and one should be healthy to practice. One should have honesty, not hiding one's weaknesses or wrongdoings, not pretending the virtue that one does not have. One should have honesty, and one should practice diligently, persistently, and gaining the knowledge into fast arising and passing away of the objects. Having these five factors, it is sure that the yogi can attain supramundane knowledge in this very life if he, she continues to practice. And as the yogi continues to practice, yogi sees that both the object and the noting mind dissolve in pair. And this is Bhanga Jnana. For example, when one is noting the heat, there is the heat, which is the object, and the noting mind. And yogi experiences that the heat passes away. Noting mind that notes the heat also passes away. In this way, yogi experiences that both the object and the noting mind passes away in pair. At the stage of Bhanga Jnana, the form or shape is no longer prominent. The form or shape of hand, head, or leg is not prominent. And also, the posture, whether it is sitting or lying or bending, is no longer prominent. In this way, Sandana Panyati, form or shape concept, Akara Panyati, manner concept, is no longer prominent. And yogi sees the true nature itself. There is the object and the noting mind. Before this stage of knowledge, Panyati concept prevails. And Paramattha, the ultimate truth, is not prevailing as Panyati prevails. So when one gets to the stage of Bhanga Jnana, the Panyati submerges, concept submerges, and Paramattha, the ultimate truth, emerges. And at this stage of Bhanga Jnana, only the Paramattha, the ultimate truth, will be prominent. Panyati concept will no longer be prominent. And Saraji explains in brief, as the yogi practices further, then yogi sees that these objects, yogi sees frightening nature, it is Paya Jnana, and one sees the disgustingness in things, Arinava Jnana, one gets disenchanted, Nibbida Jnana, and one practices wanting to be liberated from these nama and rupa. Mochitu kamyata jnana. And one continues to practice patisankhajnana. And when impermanent suffering and non-self, when the yogi has digested the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self, that will be the stage where yogi can note with ease and comfort. It is Sankharupekha Jnana. At the stage of Sankharupekha Jnana, things are very subtle, very delicate, very good, very calm, but still there is this nama rupa, mentality, materiality. When Sankharupekha Jnana becomes strong, there is anuloma jnana, adaptation knowledge or knowledge of conformity, where it connects from the vipassana jnana, the earlier vipassana jnanas, to the magaphala jnana, which are super mundane. So it's like a welding of the earlier jnana with the super mundane jnana. And there is Gurdabhu, where the state of Bhutojana, worldly being, has been cut, and one attains Magaphala Jnana, Sotapatti Magaphala Jnana, first path and fruition knowledge. And attaining Sotapatti Magaphala Jnana, it is not complete yet. One has to practice further to attain Sakadagami Magaphala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge of one's returner, Anagami Magaphala Jnana, the path and fruition knowledge of non-returner, and one has to practice further so that one attains Arahata Magaphala Jnana. Only when one has attained arahatship, then it is said to be fully accomplished. As it is said, Sampadita, one should accomplish, one should fulfill, so that Sila Samadhi Panya, morality, concentration and wisdom will be accomplished. Only when one has become an arahat, it is said that Sila Samadhi Panya, morality, concentration and wisdom is fully accomplished. One has fully done the task, and there will be peacefulness. So one has to remove pamada by practicing Sila Samadhi Panya. One should remove pamada, and one has to practice in order to attain Arahata Magaphala Jnana. And it is what the Buddha meant by Appamadena Sampadita. One should accomplish the task with Appamada in order to be fully accomplished to attain arahatship. If one cannot go on to the state of arahatship, as a human being coming across the Buddha Sasana, the teaching of the Buddha, while one has the opportunity, may you be able to have appamada to become at least a sotapanna, the stream enterer. May you be able to practice diligently at least till the stage of a sotapanna. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.